Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Here's our 4 and 5 year old choir.
I'm
guys did awesome. Let's give them one more big hand. Woo-hoo! You guys come this way. Y'all can come right this way, and we'll take you right back to the kids' class. Don, you are not a worship leader if you don't bring those maracas and tambourines to the choir right now. All right, let's sing together. Let's stand together as we sing.
Take my place. Just sing this out with us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
See that last verse when we've
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise.
This morning. You may be seated this morning as we continue worshiping together.
Lift high the name of Jesus, of Jesus, our make known the power of His grace, the beauty of His peace. Remember how His mercy reached, and we cried out to Him. He lifted us to solid ground, to freedom from our sin. Oh, sing my soul.
children, listen, they're going to head out to their parents, I believe. So if you are a parent of one of these, and they might not know where you are, you might wave or stand so they can find you as they make their way to you. So go ahead and stand up. And kids, you can find your own parent or another parent, whatever you choose. Totally up to you. Leave that to you. This moment. We are thrilled to have the children sing and the preschool Wednesday night group, the 4 and 5 year old group to sing. What a blessing it is. And now we will share one of my favorite things that we do on Mother's Day. In the early service, we had one parent-child dedication and we have a few now. So I will say a few things to those families and then I will bring them forward and Miss Pam will help line them up, our children's minister, and we'll do that in just a moment. So if you have your child here for parent-child dedication and we're prepared for that, let me say a few things to you. There are many examples of parents in the Bible who bring their children to the Lord and make a commitment to Him. Two examples in particular that I want to mention. Number one, Hannah brought her son Samuel and presented him to God in 1 Samuel. And then he was used mightily for the kingdom of God. And then if you jump forward a few thousand years, you have Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus at 8 days old to the temple. And so we're so thankful for what Jesus did for us. And there are other examples in the scripture where we see that it's important not only to dedicate our children, but as parents, for us to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, to raise our children in the way God would have us to. In Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from Him." Then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we hear this beautiful scripture, this admonition from God to us about the law. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up." What does that mean? Parents, it means this: every opportunity you get, use it as a life lesson to point your children to Jesus, to point them to what He's doing and what He is up to in their lives, and use that as an encouragement for them. And then one last verse, Ephesians 6:4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." As a father myself, listen, men, I understand that it's a grave responsibility and it's often difficult. We don't want to be one who provokes to worse things. And so we want to be one who leads and loves and serves the best we can. And I want to say to all those parents really quickly as well, there's a concept that I talk about sometimes, honestly, at funerals, but it's not necessarily about that. And I want to say it to you now, and that is this: mothers and fathers, you are doing all you can right now to provide for your children. You are working hard. Some of you working multiple jobs. But then you're taking care of your children, you're getting them to all their activities, you're doing all the things, and as you have little ones that are going to grow, the schedule's just going to become more and more busy. And as much as you want to be a provider for that child, and I understand you're already thinking, "I want to leave a great inheritance for my child someday and leave them in a great and wonderful position," let me say this to you, parents, this is important. An inheritance is what you leave for somebody. A legacy is what you leave in somebody. And can I tell you, it is much more important that you work on leaving a legacy in your children instead of an inheritance for them. That stuff will come and go. But how you live and how you love and how you show them Jesus will last for their entire lives. And so I invite you to think through that. So parents, here's what we're asking you to commit this morning. To first of all, be a godly parent. What does that mean? It means that we will seek to honor the Lord with our lives, to teach your children about Jesus, to keep your child in church. Listen, it is so important that you be around a faith family, that they grow in that environment and learn to love it and to be a part of that. To train your children in the ways of God. To stay married for your children if you are married. To make your house a holy place. And so I want to encourage you to do so. And let me tell you what our commitment to you as a church is. Our commitment to you is that we will come alongside you. We will partner with you. We will be here to encourage you on the hard days. We will be here to help you when you need a helping hand, and to be there for you, to pray for you as you're going to need prayer throughout the next number of years. We want to partner with you. It is our honor to do so. So with that being said, we're going to invite some of those couples to come up. I'll start with Miss Pam Morris. Miss Pam, listen, I'm not exaggerating. She's the best children's minister around. I mean that with all my heart. We're so thankful for her. and she does not like to be handed the microphone, so I'm going to go ahead and prepare her. In just a minute, I'm going to let you do this prayer of dedication. Be ready, Miss Pam. Be ready. Okay. All right. So, but let me say this to you. So as I call the family name, we invite that family to come, and Miss Pam will direct you, and she has a gift for you, and then we'll pray for all these together. Let's start with Tracy Brooks. Tracy is the mother of Yancey Star Brooks, and these are going to be, oh, you're right here on the front row. Sorry, I was looking for you. So is Levi with you, or is he in the back? He's back. Okay, all right, great. So Tracy and Yancey will be right here. What such an incredible addition to our faith family. We love this family, and we're so excited that God has brought Yancey into our faith family. Next, we have Jude Harmon Carroll with Lucas and Melissa Carroll. They are new members here, though they've been here a while. They're new members with us. We love this family and so honored to have them here as a part of us, and Jude is just a lot of fun to be around. Then we have Titus J. Colvin. He is the son of Kale and Jade Colvin. Kale is our student pastor here at the church. And then we have proud brother and sister Peyton Ellie Colvin and Davis Jude Colvin. All right, they're coming right down here. Peyton, I have to say, that was some awesome dancing you were doing up there in that song. It was awesome. And then we have Austin and Ashton King. We love having them here as part of our faith family. They have Addison Kate King and Brayson Ryland King. And so they are coming right this way. And by the way, all of these folks have some family members here with them. And so we're so glad to have grandparents and aunts and uncles and all the different ones who are here to be a part of this. And then Miss Melanie Lucky and Elijah James Lucky. Let's see, I believe, where, oh, they're coming. Oh, there she is right there, coming right ahead. Elijah is so much fun and love having him as a part of our ministry here. You guys come right on down. And then Ryan and Becca Riley, they have Willow Ruth Riley, and as they will come right on down, and we're thrilled for the Riley family as well. Listen, this right here, and we had one this morning, Christian and Madison Leonard, and then others, if you'd like to participate, we'll do this again on Father's Day, but I want you to look and what you see before you, and I know the parents wish I would hurry because the kids are all doing so well, but listen, I don't care if they cry and make a little noise. This is such an incredible picture of hope. We're so thankful for these families. We're thankful that these young families are seeking to honor the Lord and raise their children in the Lord. And can I say to you that when you walk around the church and you go to the kids' hall or you walk up and down the hall, if you find a crumb on the floor, if you find a mark on the wall, if you find something that looks like, well, that's been worn pretty well around here, the reason for that is we love, love, love having children in our facility. There is nothing better than that, and they are always welcome, and I'll take every mark on the wall we get. Listen, you go to a church that has perfect walls, perfect carpet, perfect everything, that's more like a museum than it is a church, and I don't know if you know it or not, but what you put in museum are dead things, and we have live things right here, and so we're thankful for that. I'm not trying to say somebody else's church is dead. That's not what I mean. I just mean that life is dirty. Just come to my house if you don't believe it. That's what I mean by that, okay? And so we're going to offer a prayer. I will begin the prayer, and then Miss Pam will end this prayer for us together. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for these families. Lord, I thank you that these parents are serious about wanting to live their lives for you in a way that is honoring to you. Father, they will not do that perfectly. But God, they make a renewed commitment this morning to raise their children in a gospel way, to live out that message in front of them, to teach them about you, to do as it says in Deuteronomy, to teach them early in the morning and as you walk about the day and late at night. And Father, I pray you would encourage these parents. I pray that you would remind them that there is an army of people praying for them and wants to be on their side and to be a resource to them in any way we can. Father, I thank you for every grandparent in the room, every aunt and uncle in the room, every relative of any kind that's here to represent with these families. Lord, I pray that you would remind them that they have a heavy weight of responsibility to be a front line of encouragement and not just defense, but offense to help these families as they seek to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, Father, I pray a blessing over these families. I ask that you would help every one of these children to come to know you at a very young age. Lord, give them a desire and a love for your church. Give him a desire and a love for the Bible. Give him a desire and a love to pray. And Lord, help them to have tender hearts that will follow after you for the rest of their lives. And that is my prayer. Yes, ma'am.
Heavenly Father, today we come to you just on a special, special day. From just preschool children lifting their voices to you, Lord, to children's choir lifting their voices, and now these beautiful children being dedicated to you, Lord. We just ask you to bless each and every family, the children, the parents, grandparents, and to bless our faith family as we just rally around them and lift them in love and hope and in prayer. Lord, just bless each and every volunteer that'll just touch these children in Sunday school on Wednesday nights. Lord, we just ask that you always remind us to pray for them because parenting isn't always easy. And yet with your love and just with the prayers of the church, we know that they can just do a great job. And Lord, we just ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. So thank you, families. You're welcome to, yes, we clap for you. You're welcome to use the family room, to bring your children to the pews, or go to the nursery. The workers will be ready. Whatever you would like to do, you're welcome to do. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. So next, I want to invite Kale Colvin to make his way right up here. Excuse me, I'll grab this microphone. Kale is going to come and recognize a few of, we have four seniors that we're going to recognize before we carry on. He goes, sir. Get out of your way.
As they come up, this year we have four, and every year senior recognition is a mix of pride and awkwardness because they all have to come up here and stand. And so this year I've asked them to sing a song. So if y'all come and grab a mic, we're gonna sing. I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna do that. This is my 12th or 13th senior Sunday, and I'm 0 for 12 on seniors wanting to do this. But it's for their parents and grandparents, and we want to recognize them. And this Sunday equals is always a range of eye rolls and frustration. And I've even had some just with an absolute full-on panic attack because they had to come up on stage. So, but it's fun for me to honor the students, and we're going to recognize them. So we have Nathan Beeson, Hayden McClendon, Sam Morton, and Evan Patterson. And I want to tell you a little bit about all of them. Nathan is a tremendously gifted musician who's been a consistent presence in our orchestra and worship team throughout many years, playing the saxophone. I played the saxophone in the fifth grade for 4 months. I was in the band a full year, 4 months, so we'll have a competition later, but I need to borrow a saxophone. But he's also a member of the AHS National Honor Society. He's in the top 10% of his senior class. He's a top forensic science student, marching band for 5 years with the Aggies, AHS Wind Ensemble first chair bassoonist for 4 years. He's jazz band lead tenor saxophone for 4 years, all district 2 alto saxophone for 6 years, Alabama All-State saxophonist for 4 years, AHS Aggie Band Leadership Award for 2 years, Aggie Band Outstanding Bandsman Award, and the 2023 recipient of the Louis Armstrong Jazz Award. We'll probably just not do a competition. We'll just move on. Next is Sam Morton. Sam has been a part of our student ministry since I've been here. Him and his family, a vital part. A few weeks ago, Sam actually shared his story, his testimony to our students in a powerful, vulnerable way, in a way that a lot of people cannot do. Just sharing how God's guided him throughout his life. And those are things that many adults can't do. And he came to me 1 week wanting to do that, and then I kind of put him through the ringer of preparation, and he met everything we needed to do to be able to do that in a way that honors God and shares his story. And he was baptized. He was accepted Christ, was baptized in 2015. He played trombone for the Albertville Band from 7th grade through his sophomore year, marching in the band for 2 years as a freshman and a sophomore. Then he moved to football and played football his junior and senior year. And then he's accepted to Auburn University, and he'll be spending the fall majoring in mechanical engineering when he moves to Auburn. So, Sam Morton. Then there's Hayden McClendon. And I'll say this, and many of you know this, there's a lot of jobs in ministry, there's a lot of things that people do that are unnoticed by the majority and thankless jobs at times. And Hayden's found a place in being dependable in the shadows, is what I would say. He's part of the rotation that runs our screens on Sunday morning down here. If I'm not mistaken, he got the start Easter Sunday. Did you do Easter Sunday? Yeah, he was the starter Easter Sunday, so that's the big one, and he got the start there. Every Wednesday, rain or shine, cold, hot, it does not matter. At the end of our service, he quietly gets up, he gathers the trash, takes it to his truck, does that for the kids, throws that in the dumpster. And you may say, well, that's a job, and it is. And it's a job that likely no one but me and Marcia know happened, because people just don't notice that. And so I wanted to today thank in person and say, you know, publicly that he does the job that people don't want to do, and I've never asked him to do it. I don't know when he started it. I don't know how he started it, but I just want to thank him for that, and that's an awesome big deal to be someone who serves selflessly, and he's done a great job of that. He's the son of Stephen and Andrea McClendon. He's the brother of Addie, Jewel, and Judah. He's graduating from Geraldine High School, been part of basketball and football team recently where he was voted as a senior captain this past season. He's a member of FCA and has been an FCA leader this season also. After graduation, he's heading into the workforce with a goal of becoming a lineman. Not like an offensive lineman, I think like the... You do what you want to, though. I'll help you out. All right. Evan Patterson. Evan also runs our screens on Sunday morning. Sorry. Okay. Hayden. Evan also is part of our tech team that helps runs the media. He does that for me upstairs. And he's also, and I told somebody this week, he's also my memory. Meaning if I have something that's vitally important to not forget, I give it to Evan. Because there's 100% chance I will forget it no matter the level of importance it is. And he's somebody I know that I can ask him for help. I can ask him to cover something, take care of something, whatever it is. And I don't even go back and check. I have zero worries of the completion of whatever that project is. And I don't know if you realize how valuable it is to have someone that you can just say, don't let me forget this, and know that it's not going to be forgotten. He's far more dependable than any post-it I have in my office. And it's just a really important thing. He's valuable to our ministry, all these guys who've been a part of this church and this ministry. And he's graduating also in the top 10 of his class. He played trumpet in the Aggie Band, section leader this year. He's a member of Interact, where he served as the president for the last 2 years. He's a member of the Future Business Leaders of America, where he has served as the secretary this year and placed first in spreadsheet applications at the state conference in April. He has been a member of National Honor Society since 10th grade. He's also part of the inaugural class of the Citizens Bank and Trust Aggie Branch, where he was selected to be one of two head tellers. He's been an active member of the Junior Chamber of Commerce Board for the past 3 years, served as the vice president last year, and the president this year. Participated in the Marshall County Youth Leadership class this year. He's going to be attending Sneed State, majoring in business, and will serve as a Sneed ambassador next year. So that's Evan Patterson. You bring those. Can you grab those for me? We also have, they'll get it. We also have a Bible we present every year. You can bring all four of them. We're going to present them. It's just a study Bible. When I graduated, I got a Bible. I can take you to it right now in my office. That I used for many years before it was retired in terms of active use. And it's something they can have to remember this day, remember this season in their life. So if you'll give these seniors a hand, y'all are done, guys. Good job. I'm also going to give a couple of acknowledgement for some college graduates we have. One, we're going to take a moment to recognize Jeannie Elizabeth Elkins. She graduated from Auburn University recently with a degree in aerospace engineering. She'll be working with NASA in Huntsville. And Stephanie Archer graduated just very recently with a PhD in music education from Florida State University. Both tremendous accomplishments. We just want to acknowledge those who've accomplished things in our ministry or recently out of our ministry, we'll say, to give everybody an opportunity. So give them a hand.
Church, let's stand as we sing this hymn of praise, Because He Lives. Let's sing that out today.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon.
Children and high school graduates and heard about college graduates as we've worshiped together from generation to generation. There would be at least probably five generations represented in this room. Father, my prayer is that we would know life is worth the living because you live, because you gave us new life. Would you take the next 10 minutes, Father, and speak to us as we give a brief introduction to our summer and what you're going to do? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will, friends. We will be quick. We have a message series that we begin today that will last the next 12 weeks after today. And the series is called Major in the Minors. And you may wonder what that means. It's talking about the major and minor prophets. We're going to focus on the minor prophets for the next 12 weeks. Let me give you a really brief introduction through a very corny joke, but I like it and it fits to talk about prophets, and that is this: that the Bible and the Old Testament even gives us a beautiful picture of what comes thousands of years later in today's time, what we know as the modern financial institution. This is the story of Moses. We see it where it tells us this in the Bible, that Pharaoh's daughter went down to the bank of the Nile and withdrew a little profit. Come on. That's not... that's the best I got today, so we'll be... What is a prophet? What is a prophet? We talk about prophets. What is a prophet? Here's the definition. A prophet is one who hears from God and speaks the truth of God boldly to others. Often in the scripture, prophets would function in two ways. First of all, they would speak truth for people of that day, and that would be called forth-telling. They're bringing forth a message for the people who were listening right then. But then also, many, if not all of these prophets that we will look at this summer, would not only speak to what was happening that day, they would also speak to what was coming someday. It would be showing the future. That's called foretelling. So you have forth-telling and foretelling. That's what prophets do. There are over 100 men in the Bible who are called a prophet, and there are at least seven women who are called a prophetess, or who say, it says they prophesy, they are prophets. And so we see this rich heritage of people who would get truth from God and speak it boldly. These were not people who would read something that was already in existence from God's word and speak it boldly. That would be more of a preacher, but a prophet is one who God speaks directly to, and they bring forth that. The first person called the prophet in the Bible is Abraham. Abraham was having a situation with his family. He did not handle it correctly. And so God speaks to King Abimelech on Abraham's behalf. And this is the first person called a prophet. It's Genesis 20, verse 7. It says this: "Now then," God says, "return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and that he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So for the very first person to be called a prophet, it's Abraham. But if you back up 10 generations before this, you see a man who prophesies. It's Noah. Noah spoke prophecy. He spoke the truth boldly about what God was up to and what God was going to do. But it's really not until Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you have your Bible, that this office of prophet in the whole scheme of the family of God, the office of prophet comes to being, it seems, in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And so I'll share this story with you. The Israelites are ready to move into the promised land. They've wandered in the desert. They're ready to go and move forward. And they don't realize it, but God knows they're going to face at least 31 enemy kings. Even in the promised land, they will face kings and have to fight battles. Listen, if you're wondering why the Christian life is hard, when the Israelites moved into the promised land, they still had to defeat 31 kings. You need to understand in your life, even with Jesus in your life, the rest of the promise of God and the promised land that starts in your life now, that doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. You will have your battles to face, but please understand, you fight from a place of victory because of Jesus, not for a place of victory. So grab hold of that in your tough times and know that that's the case. And so in the middle of this, as they're preparing to go into the promised land, not knowing the trouble that's coming their way, God speaks to Moses. Moses speaks to them, and here's what he says. And it will be found in Deuteronomy 18, beginning in verse 9. He says, "When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you one who burns his sons or daughters as an offering." That's a nice Mother's Day passage. "Anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens or is a sorcerer," verse 11, "or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God for these nations which you are about to dispossess. Listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this." So Moses speaks and tells the people, you cannot use the ways of the world to know God, to know his will, and know his future. Can I tell you really quickly for today? Listen, that still applies 6,000 years later. Do not use the ways of the world to know God, to know his will for you, or to know the future that he has planned for you. If you want to know God's plan and you want to know what God wants you to do, please don't go ask for a poll on Facebook among your friends. Don't turn to Oprah. Don't turn to talk shows. Listen, turn to the Word of God. He wants to speak to us. The truth is still the same. So, in their own way, each of the prophecies that we're about to find, now we'll see where a prophet comes from. And the answer is given in the next part of the passage. God tells Moses to tell them, don't do these things. Now, here's what I will do for you. And so now, Deuteronomy 18, beginning in verse 15. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you," Moses says, "from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of my Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I have commanded him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the names of other little g gods, false gods, that same prophet shall die." Listen, prophecy is serious business. "And if you say in your heart, 'How may we know that the word of the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him." So, here's what happens. God says, don't follow all of their false ways, but I will send you a prophet. And that was fulfilled not once, but dozens of times over in the years to come. And it's ultimately even fulfilled in Jesus himself. Jesus himself is a great prophet. He spoke the truth of God. So what I would say to you today is there were prophets to come, and in each of their ways, they point to Jesus. Each prophet points to Jesus, our great prophet, priest, king, and Messiah. So when you think about these prophets in the Bible, understand then that a number of them wrote books of the Bible that we see. It's divided into two types. You have the major prophets and you have the minor prophets. And the major prophets are not more important. They're just bigger. The books are bigger. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Those are large books that will take a while for you to read. That's why they're called major. And then there are 12 minor prophets. And the 12 minor prophets are not less important. They're just smaller, except for two of the books. The rest of them are just smaller. And so they focus more singularly on one topic from God and not a multitude of topics, but they are just as important. So over the next 12 weeks, each week we will take one minor prophet. We'll give a quick overview of what the entire book was about and how that one prophet pointed to Jesus. It will be very helpful. And so I want to encourage you, if you're going to miss a week on vacation or two, go back and watch online. Keep up, because you will see Jesus all the way through the Old Testament. He's not spoken by name, but over and over and over, you see it point to him. Let me really quickly, before we go, give you an overview of how the 12 point to Jesus with just one sentence each. And here they are. First of all, you have the book of Hosea. And in Hosea, Jesus is the faithful husband and redeemer. Then you have Joel. In Joel, he is our refuge and he is the Spirit's power. In Amos, he is the one who carries our burdens. In Obadiah, he is the judge and the savior. In Jonah, he is the great missionary bringing us back to him. In Micah, he is the ruler born in Bethlehem. In Nahum, he is the stronghold of God's people. In Habakkuk, he is the God of our salvation. In Zephaniah, he is the mighty one to save. In Haggai, he is our restorer. In Zechariah, he is the Lord of hosts. And then in Malachi, he is the Son of righteousness, bringing healing in his wings. So we'll spend 1 week on each of these. We will unpack this idea, and we will walk away understanding how Jesus is so amazing even more and more, and what he wants to do in our lives. But for today, as we wrap up this fun hour of the family, can I ask you, how do you need Jesus today? Now, that seems like a strange way to phrase it, but let me say it again. How do you need Jesus today? Maybe in this room, you're in some form of bondage. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a major sin struggle. I don't know, but maybe you're in some form of bondage. If that's you, listen, I want to encourage you. You need the Redeemer found in the book of Hosea. And here's what we learn from Hosea. Hosea was willing to marry one who was not faithful. He was willing to buy her back when she was sold into slavery, and he was willing to walk with her as an example of what Jesus does for us. Listen, Jesus paid a price for you even when you were in your bondage, right now. He is willing to buy you back, and he is willing to walk with you. Here's what I would say to you today. If you're in bondage, if you're struggling with some type of addiction, maybe no one knows anything about it, but you know it, and maybe a few others know it. I don't have to know it, but here's what I know. God knows who he is making you to be. He knows who you're created to be. You don't have to be stuck there anymore. So let the Jesus found in Hosea be your great redeemer. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is faithful to love us and to be our redeemer in all things. But maybe for you, maybe it's no bondage. Maybe for you, you're just in some kind of trouble. Maybe you're having a problem and it seems hopeless. Maybe it's health related. Maybe it's family related. Maybe it's emotionally related. I don't know, but if you come here today and you say, Chris, I can sing because he lives, but the reality is deep inside, I feel dead inside. I'm struggling in a big way. What do I do? Listen, I want to encourage you to find refuge in the same God of the book of Joel. In the book of Joel, it's one of my favorites. And Joel is talking about all the problems that are happening among the generations of Israelites. And we have this one part where he says this to them. He wants them to return to him with their heart and not just by doing things on the outside. In other words, it's not just getting dressed up and going to church. It's not just showing up and putting a little money in the offering box. It's a decision that says, God, I want you to do a work in my heart. And so in Joel chapter 2, he tells them, rip your heart and not your clothes. The actual way it's worded in your Bible is rend your heart and not your garments. What does that mean? In the Old Testament, there were false gods that were worshipped, and some of their people were taught to rip their clothes while they were wailing and yelling out to that god as if that would make the god hear them more. And so some Christian or some people who follow Yahweh picked up on that practice and started to use it themselves. They never should have. And God sets it straight in Joel chapter 2. He says, listen to me, don't rip your clothes. Rip your heart. He says, give me your heart. Listen, if you've never realized it before, that worship and following God cannot be done on the outside alone. In fact, if it's on the outside alone and it's just routine or action and it does not involve the change of the heart, God says that's as worthless to him. And so, friend, rend your heart. How do you do that? It starts by bending the knee, bowing the heart, saying, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. God, I've already got a broken heart. Help me mend it. God, help me to have the same desires and loves for things that you have. So maybe for you, maybe in your trouble, you need the God of Joel who will rend the heart. Maybe for you, if you're struggling in some other way, I don't know, maybe you've just got a heavy load at your house, or you've got a heavy load financially, or you've got a heavy load in some other way. We will read about Amos in the weeks to come, but maybe today you need the God of Amos who will carry you when you cannot carry yourself. Aren't you thankful that we have a burden bearer? You can bring your burdens to God. Do you have a burden? Did you run to Facebook to tell your burden? Amos tells us that God will be your burden bearer. You have a burden? Do you run to somebody else to say, help me fix this, fix this? Can I say to you, it's great to seek help, but listen, seek help from the very one who created you. He knows. He will be your burden bearer. He will help you through your struggle if you're having one today. And then the last category I'll mention today before we go is this. Maybe you're here and you say, Chris, I don't even know if I know Jesus. I'm not certain that I have him in my life. We call that, we would say, and don't let this offend you, we would say that means you're lost. And we don't mean that you can't find directions and you're not smart. What we mean is we are lost from any hope of getting to God on our own. You cannot get there on your own. We're lost from any hope of living the godly life by ourselves. We need Jesus in our lives. So Jesus comes, and Malachi calls him the Son of Righteousness, bringing healing in his wings. We'll talk more about what that means in a few weeks. But just know that Jesus comes to heal your life. And when I say heal, I mean to take what is dead and make it alive, to take what is sin and make it whole, to take what is wrong and make it right. He comes to give you hope and healing. And so, friends, maybe for you, you need the God of Malachi. It's the same. This is all Jesus. The one Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. I don't know what you need, but I want to encourage you today to stop and think about that and pray about that and ask the Lord to move in your life and what he's doing in your life. So would you bow with me for just a moment with your heads bowed, for just a little moment of privacy? If you're here and you've been dealing with a struggle, maybe you've got some kind of addiction. I'm not going to ask you to point that out in front of anybody. So just privately, if that's you and you need the Redeemer, listen, he's talked about in Hosea. He comes on the scene in Matthew. Jesus himself will be your Redeemer. He will take what is broken and make it new. Would you cry out to him and ask him to help you? Ask him to be your bondage breaker. Ask him to be the one who mends what's going on in your life. Maybe for you, you're in some type of trouble, and so you need the refuge found in Joel, and you want to rend your heart instead of doing things on the outside. Maybe in just a moment when we sing, you just want to come and get on your knees for a moment before God and say, God, I bow my heart. I don't want to have pride and humility. I want to come and say, God, I need you. Lord, help me. I'm struggling. Maybe for you, it's some type of trouble that's there and you need the burden bearer. You've got a burden. You've got a problem. You've got a life situation, or a friend does, and you want to help them bear that burden. But the truth is, you got to start with Jesus. Amos shows us that he can carry what we cannot carry. So ask him to do that in your life. Or if you're here and you just simply need to give your life to Jesus, I'll be right down front. Please come, take me by the hand. Let me help you know how you can have him in your life. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. We already had one family join this morning. Maybe for you, you want to come and say you want to be an official part of who we are and what God's doing. You come. Maybe you want to come and pray. Someone will pray with you. If I can help you, we want to help you. Father God, I'm so excited about the next 12 weeks as we look at these minor prophets. Some will be less than 100 verses in the whole book, but such incredible power in what you said through them and to them and how it spoke to the Israelites, but how it points to Jesus. And God, we're so thankful that years ago you had a plan, and that plan included Jesus changing us, saving us, making us new. So God, I pray that every person in this room would stop and examine just how they need Jesus today. And may we all cry out to you. May we all trust in you. Would you be our burden bearer? Would you be our redeemer? Would you be our healer? Would you be the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings? Father God, have your way now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as we sing, you're invited to respond. You can come and pray right down front here. Someone will pray with you. You can come pray with me. If you have a decision to make, come and see me. Whatever God is saying, let's stand together as we sing this song together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.